This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's Home for Sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone!
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, along with Adam Abdallah. Usually you hear us weeknights 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000, filling in for Cap and Jay Hood today. Big show. Huge show, Abdallah. It's our last show before next year, so this should be fun.
It is our last show.
Well, it's not the last show for the station. We have full programming all the way till next week. But no, Black and Abdallah, this is it for
you
and
I are done
for the year, for 2022.
I've been told to tell you that this is your last show.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
You enjoy the Substack? No. You have one more show. You have one more show. You have to finish today or else you don't get paid. You have to finish today.
All right.
And then you can move to France and start your Substack.
Wembanyama in the NBA and thoughts about the Bulls from overseas. Hey, so here's the news this morning. The Bulls beat the Hawks last night, 110-108. Ayo Dosunmu with the layup at the end, the rebound, the collection, and he puts it back before time runs out. Yesterday, the Cubs introduced Dansby Swanson to the media, and then also week 16 in the NFL kicks off tonight. Jacksonville and the New York Jets. It should be a good game. Both teams fighting for the playoffs still. So that's the news this morning here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah, but we start first with the Chicago Bears. They host the Bills on Saturday. And Abdallah, the injury report that was released yesterday, I do have a question about this because Chase Claypool, with his knee injury, on Tuesday, he was limited. Yesterday, on Wednesday, he did not participate. So it seems as if he is going backwards as far as what he is doing from day to day in practice, which my concern then would be if we look at the other pieces around Justin Fields for this Saturday against the Bills. EQ St. Brown is in concussion protocol. He has not practiced Tuesday or Wednesday. And then N'Keal Harry was limited yesterday. I mean, he was a full participant both days at practice, but he was a full participant both days of practice last week. And he didn't play.
Yeah.
So what's the situation with the wide receivers around our quarterback? Because that's the most important thing. Seeing Justin Fields, his development, once again, in another situation against a very good defense. I want to see Fields play well, but he needs some weapons. And it seems as at this point, we're not going to see more of this Claypool-Fields connection here in the final couple of weeks. This does not look good.
No, it doesn't look good. And, you know, this injury now is, what, 3 weeks old? It happened against the Packers. We saw it. And then they had the bye week. So he had 2 weeks to heal. Didn't play last week. So now we're into week three of this knee injury. And yeah, you want to see some connection between Fields and Claypool. Like, that's what you hope to see in these last few games. You've got three games left. You want to see this offense kind of develop. But I still think that Justin Fields can still learn on the job without Claypool, right? A lot of people are upset with Chase Claypool and how long it's taken him to learn this offense and to acclimate himself into this team and kind of become that number one guy, especially with Mooney out and when he got injured about 4 weeks ago. So I'm not that worried. I'm in the camp of you bring in a wide receiver into a new system that took the quarterback and the full offense like 6 weeks to finally implement into the regular season. So to me, I'm waiting to have Claypool get a full offseason with Justin Fields. We talked about it when Fields was the backup, remember, during training camp, and how he and Darnell Mooney would stay after and just throw balls to each other and run routes and all that kind of stuff. And they developed that kind of rapport that when Justin Fields got the job, because he knew eventually he was going to get the job, that he had that rapport with Darnell Mooney. even though Allen Robinson was supposed to be the number one wide receiver. I kind of hope that happens with Chase Claypool. Not that I want Mooney out, but I hope both the guys stay after practice and training camp and that kind of thing. That's when if it's next year and Chase Claypool still isn't getting the offense, then I'll worry. But, you know, coming into a new system and trying to learn an entirely new offense and new verbiage and everything like that with a quarterback who likes to run as well, that's going to take some time. So I'm not that worried about Claypool. I would like to see it. But we saw that without him last week, Justin Fields still had a decent game and put up points. So against a very good defense in the Eagles as well. So I'm not really that worried about this. I just would like some dudes for him to throw to. Like, it's just going to make it that more obvious that the Bears need to add in the offseason. Like, when you get here on, and when people are talking about this game on Sunday and Monday, when you're enjoying your Christmases, and people are saying, hey,
you're not going to enjoy yours?
No, I'm saying when people are enjoying their Christmases.
Oh, I thought you said your Christmases.
No, people are enjoying your Christmases.
You're just going to sit from afar and observe.
No. I feel people are going to be like, man, we need some wide receivers like real bad, because you need depth too, because it's hard for a team to stay healthy. As we've seen, these injuries for the Bears, they got real lucky the first few weeks of the season. They got lucky through like 10 weeks, 13 weeks of the season, and then everything started to pile up. And now you've got a bunch of dudes on the injury report that are hurting Justin Fields' development. And it's fine. I don't think it's a problem, because now people want losses. I don't think you were going to beat the Bills anyway, even with when fully healthy. But it just proves the point that how much you have to add to this football team. Like, you've got guys out there, and I still expect the Bears to compete just like they did against the Eagles. If you competed against the Eagles, you should be able to compete against the Bills. When we do our 5-up, 5-down on Bleck and Abdallah, I still have the Eagles rated higher than the Bills.
Sure.
So if you competed against the Eagles, you should be able to compete against the Bills.
Yeah, that is a good way to look at it, because Philly was, last week, they were the number one team, and they still are, in opponent yards per play. So defensively, they allow the fewest yards per play in the National Football League. Buffalo is 10th, and Justin Fields moved the football mm-hmm. against a very good Eagles defense. And I think that's where I look at this whole piece of conversation, and you just mentioned it. You laid it out. There are guys who are injured who are not allowing Fields to develop at the pace that we hope. Well, that goes back to the depth of this team. And Ryan Poles has a lot of work cut out for him in this offseason. It's going to be a very important offseason. But when you look at this whole situation, as far as Poles goes, it's not just a number one wide receiver and a stud left tackle. It's not just an edge rusher and maybe another corner. It's the idea that those behind the starters are good enough to step in. There are some spots on this roster where we've seen some young players step in and step up. Jack Sanborn this year, I think, is one of those guys. Out with the injury, he's on injured reserve. But to this point this season, the Bears trade away Roquan Smith. I would argue your best player. And Jack Sanborn stepped in, and he was pretty decent. I'm not going to say good, but he was decent.
Yeah.
And he went and made plays. I'm not seeing other young players seize the opportunity like we saw Sanborn seize the opportunity. And that blame goes, you could say some of it goes to the players, but also it goes back to the GM. You didn't construct a deep enough roster of players who could have something in the future. And that's where it goes back to Poles and this idea where they need wide receivers, yet his moves at wide receiver seem a little desperate, and they seem like they haven't worked out. And that's Velus Jones Jr., who you draft in the third round when other guys were available. Mm-hmm. And then also, you go and you trade a second-rounder for Chase Claypool. Claypool gets the knee injury. Now we're not going to see what he is, and the hope will be in the offseason he can complete some chemistry with Justin Fields. There's a lot of work ahead of Ryan Poles in this offseason,
yeah.
But it's more than just the number one guys. He needs depth, because when you get to this point in the season, it's not just the teams with the star. It's the teams that have guys who can step up and step in. And the Bears just don't have that at this moment. I think some in these parts, around these parts, would say they don't have enough talent.
Oh, no, drink. It's early. I feel like I'm still defending Ryan Poles, because it's his first draft class, and look at what he did to clear the books of the dead weight for next season, right? Like, he couldn't add depth because there was no money to add depth. they were up against the salary cap the entire year. They have been the entire year because of all the dead money that they're paying out to players that aren't here anymore. And I give him credit for moving on from players when other GMs might have been like, well, you know what? If we keep Khalil Mack for a year and if we keep these guys for a year, maybe we can compete. And maybe he was like, no, this is garbage. The money's garbage. We got to get rid. We got to rebuild. This team is one of the oldest in the NFL. We got to get young. And so I'm not going to hold that against him until next season, right? Next season, if you don't add the depth with $100 million, if you, I'm a proponent more and more so every week when I watch games of trading back and getting more draft picks because you just have to add so much more to this team. I know Jalen Carter, Will Anderson would be awesome, but you have to fill so many holes on this team that you need all those draft picks. So I'm going to give him another full offseason. Like, I'm not just going to say Ryan Poles is garbage because he missed on Velus Jones and traded for a second round pick for Chase Claypool who hasn't panned out just yet. Let me see what Chase Claypool does next year with Justin Fields, because I don't think it was a move for this year. I think he looked at the wide receiver free agent class and was like, this is garbage. I got to move for something. So he made a move for Chase Claypool. So let's see how that pans out next year. I'm with you on Velus Jones is probably a bust now. Velus Jones probably a bust. Swing and a miss on that one. But at the same time, I still think he's had more hits than misses. I still think he's batting above 500. I still think he's had a decent draft class because you found guys. You just said it. Undrafted free agent in Jack Sanborn was playing really well in place for Roquan Smith until he got injured. Like, you can't plan for injury. Like, you plan for it with depth. But at the same time, like, we didn't know Sanborn was going to get injured. You probably knew that Roquan Smith was going to get traded, but Sanborn stepped in nicely. Like, look at how much better the defense was when Brisker and Kyler Gordon came back from concussion protocol. Like, they've played well. So he's had decent draft picks. The problem is his glaring hole at wide receiver. When everyone wants to watch the offense and everyone's focused on that, he hasn't really hit on that.
Have you ever seen a player that has more fumbles per touch than Velus Jones Jr.? I mean, how many times has he touched the football this season
and just
for the Chicago
it.
Bears? And how many fumbles does he have?
Yeah,
I mean, he can't have more than like 15 touches the entire season, right? Like, I'm not making this up. I've never seen a player have the inability to hold on to a football the way that Jones Jr. has been this season for the Chicago Bears at rookie. And when you look at Justin Fields and his development, you know, just take the snapshot of the last four games, Detroit, Atlanta, Green Bay, Philly. He's a hell of a player, and he's developing. Mm-hmm. And that's where the excitement level turns to the future, because even against Atlanta, where he gets injured at the end, the pick at the end, things didn't go the way they should have for the Bears. They had the opportunity, final drive. It doesn't happen. He only throws for 153 yards, but he has a touchdown in the air, and he also has a touchdown on the ground. But when you look at those games, especially Green Bay and Philly, he is turning into a quarterback that we saw the draft profile for. Quarterback staying in the pocket, who's a super athlete, but his first objective is to throw down the field. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what is so exciting. Against Philly, one of the best defenses in all of football. Against Green Bay, your rival, able to stand in the pocket and make throws down the field. And then, to tie it all back together, with a wide receiver core that's in shambles. That you have guys who are injured, you have guys who are running the wrong routes, you have guys who are showing up late to the huddle, and then they're getting out there, and they're not set, and there's all this movement going on. And Justin Fields, the entire time, with chaos around him, looks cool, comfortable, and he has confidence. That, to me, is the most important thing to what we've seen from Fields in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the type of throws that he's making, right? Like, when you look at the throws that he's throwing into tighter coverage. Like, he's not just throwing to dudes. Like, the beginning of the season, you're like, okay, he's making nice throws, but the guys were getting wide open. Like, he's throwing up 50-50 balls that guys are trying to make plays on, right? And I think that he's trusting his offense more. He's standing in the pocket a little bit more so than he was in the beginning of the year. Is he still holding onto the ball too long? A little bit, but his offensive line around him was dropping like flies on Sunday against the Eagles. Like, if you look at, I keep going back to the weeks that when they implemented this new offense after the mini bye, right? Week 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, take out week 12 because he didn't play the Jets game, and then week 13, 14, and then week 15, right? So if you look at that, in offense, this is still a top 10 top 10 offense. Like, they've proven the fact that they can still be a top 10 offense when Justin Fields is playing well, and since they started this after that mini bye. And so I'm looking at that and saying, hey, they're going to have so many more weapons at wide receiver, and the offensive line is going to be better next year, because it just has to be. Like, you have to add, so it should be better. And if you can be a top 10 offense with the garbage they're rolling out there, imagine what they can be when you add more weapons and you shore up that offensive line a little bit more.
We're talking Bears football with you at 312-332-3776. It's Black and Abdallah. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Abdallah in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning. Why are you and Shane Norling fighting about DVOA, a analytic for football?
Shay doesn't like it.
What's going on here?
And I'm not.
Shay, do you have your dead man walking list?
Dead team walking.
Is that the analytic you would like to use for football?
The dead team walking list is my favorite analytic.
Who's number one? Tom Brady and the Bucks?
Yeah, because they are walking and they're going to make the playoffs, but they're so dead. You know what's the worst thing is? I don't know if they actually are number one, because can't you see a future where Dallas has to go on the road to Tampa in the first round of the playoffs and loses?
No, I see the opposite. I see Micah Parsons killing Tom Brady on national TV, and that being the end of the story.
Killing dead? Like, yeah. Tom Brady's not dead.
It's one of those where he goes for the strip sack, and he leaves with the football and the helmet, and is just running down the field with the helmet in one arm and the football in the other, and the Cowboys, America's team, takes down America's boy. Couldn't you see that? I see that. 46-2.
I see that.
Yeah. See that final score. Let's call it now. Cowboys over Buccaneers.
Dead team walking.
Who else is on the list?
Number one on my list actually is the New England Patriots. It's a dead team walking.
Well, explain that. So all of our fine Cap and Jay Hood listeners listen to you each and every week talk about your love for Boston sports, but you're from Detroit. Explain this one to me.
Explain which one, the dead team walking or the love for the Patriots?
Well, how are you a Boston fan, but you're not
I'm
from
not
Boston?
Really, I'm a Celtics fan and I'm a Patriots fan. So when I was growing up, my aunt and uncle lived there, and we would go there often. Okay. And I've told you before, like, Detroit, like, the Lions were blacked out locally a lot because they couldn't sell out the games. So when they were playing at home, I couldn't watch them on TV.
Hold on.
And what comes on TV instead?
Shay,
the Patriots.
Shay, stop. You don't have to do this. You leave him alone, okay? Mr. USC fan over here. Well, Mr. Manchester United fan over here. You go to France once, and now you're a PSG fan.
None of us grew up in England
to be a European soccer fan.
Yeah, but why United? You could pick Tottenham and be one
of
the
you know
cool
why?
Kids.
Because when we were all picking teams.
Well, they're pretentious.
I go, D-bags pick United. He goes, well, I'm a United fan.
Yeah. I'm always shocked when I see you, like, rage tweeting about the Celtics. I'm like, who cares about the Celtics?
Well, I mean, let him be a fan of who he wants to be a fan of.
I was just
You're
asking.
You're a USC fan. Leave him alone.
I didn't say he can't be a fan of it. I was just asking for the backstory.
I need your fan. What, you got to tattoo it on it now? Are you a fan? You fan checking dudes? I need credentials.
Well, Cap's not here. Someone's got to monitor the halls about fan checking.
No, let him be a fan.
I had a guy I used to work with said it was garbage that I would root for the Patriots, and he's like, oh, you're not even a real fan. You're just a front runner. Then I told him I was going to see them play in Buffalo and in Pittsburgh in the same season, and he's like, for some reason, that was like the thing that made it okay for me to be a Patriots fan. Oh, you're going on the road to see them? I guess you are actually a fan.
Speaking of Cap, guys, I'll just put this out into the world. Google it if you want to. Cap's guy, Dabo Swinney, had an amazing comment on name, image, and likeness yesterday.
Yeah.
And he, oh my God. He said they're creating the team in the name, image, and likeness of God.
Oh, no. Well, that's Cap's guy. So there you go. Dabo Swinney. Cap's guy.
Like,
Shout out to that.
The dude has also said that if players ever got paid, he would go sell cars. I'm still waiting for him to open his dealership.
He's not selling cars.
I'm still waiting on that.
He's not selling cars.
Still waiting on that, Dabo. Why haven't you done it yet?
He's cashing checks.
Why? Where's your car dealership? I'm not saying he has to like be a car salesman. He can just retire and open a dealership like he said he would.
I will say this. The benefit of working the show 2 days in a row was that I got to sit at home and watch the SEC Network for like six straight hours.
You see that recruiting class?
And to watch recruiting breakdown with the first signing day, which we know in college football, there's also a second signing day. And basically with the transfer portal, you have all winter to kind of build your team. So I get there's a lot of people out there suggesting that the ranking of the classes and, oh, here's Oregon. Look how great Oregon is because of the first day of this signing period. Congratulations. You're still going to lose. But how about you? Alabama, what a start to signing day.
6 5-stars, 24-star players. 1 3-star player, that's all right. You gotta spread the wealth around a little bit, I guess. It's like Alabama getting a 3-star player is like that picture of Diddy looking at a dollar. It's just like, what do I do with this?
What do I do with this 3-star? What do I do with this?
They flipped a couple dudes. They flipped a dude from Auburn. They flipped a dude from Iowa, an offensive guy from Iowa. They flipped a defensive guy from Auburn. It's a good day. It's a good day.
Abdal, this holiday week, we have Christmas coming up this weekend. Hanukkah's taking place. At this time of year, people are always thinking about their wish lists, right? And then also, you know, I like to think back of some of the great gifts that I've received in the past. And 25 years ago this fall, a specific game was released that I was fond of back in the day when I was a kid. That's right. Do you remember the Nintendo 64?
Yes.
The winter was 1997. It was the fall of 97. And a young Chris Bleck was sitting there hoping and praying that a Nintendo 64 and GoldenEye, the game, James Bond 007, would be there on Christmas morning. Can you recall a present that you just absolutely needed to have?
Oh, yeah. It was the Nintendo 64. I remember that year, my birthday is December 4th, so earlier than Christmas, but I got it for my birthday, and it was like a combo. It was like an Eid, which is a Muslim holiday, and my birthday, because it was like they were close, because Eid's Muslims work on a lunar calendar, so the calendar moves around, right?
Sure.
And so I was like, Mom, Dad, come on.
Come on.
It's one present, but like for two, you're killing two birds with one stone here, guys. You don't need to get me anything for Eid if you get me this for my birthday. And it worked because they didn't. And then I got a 64 and GoldenEye for my birthday.
Okay. And so here's why I want you to explain. Explain to people why GoldenEye, the 007 game for Nintendo 64, was so important to millennials when they were that age, when they were sitting there around 12 years old, 13, that this game was released and why it was so important to not only you, but I assume your friend group as well.
Yeah, I mean, because like if you had the game first, like everyone came over to play there, right? Like everyone wanted to play, like, hey, guys, we're coming. We're going to play GoldenEye. Like it was the first, I can't remember another system or game. I think, believe it was it the first 4-controller system? I believe it was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was.
And so, like, you could play with 4 people at the same time, and you could have 3 of your friends over and 1 weird friend sitting in the corner waiting to rotate in, because everyone had to rotate in, right?
Sure.
And so, like, there'll be, like, one of your friends being like, come on, guys, someone die already. And so, like, you then became, like, the house. And that changed with Xbox, because Xbox, you could have, like, 16 people, you could do all that kind of stuff, but I remember GoldenEye being the first one where you'd be like, all right, I'm bringing my controller over. Because like you never had 4 controllers. You had 2 controllers.
Sure.
And then someone had to bring their controller over if they wanted to play. Like, all right, you come, but you got to bring your controller.
Of course. And it was important because it was based off a movie, GoldenEye, the James Bond film. But also, like, the levels were basically the movie, the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
But the key was the multiplayer, which you could play in the different levels, which was fantastic because in a multiplayer setting, you're right, it was the first time you could have 4 people all playing together. But it was like basically Mario Kart at the time, and it was GoldenEye, is where you could have all 4 of your friends playing at once. And That's where my favorite joke is. When you look at Twitch, there are people streaming their video games on Twitch. Dude. Hundreds of thousands of people watching.
Millions.
There was nothing worse than being 12 years old in 1997 and being the fifth friend in the group of four and being the last one to get there. So now you're just sitting there watching your four buddies play video games and waiting for someone to die.
And you didn't have a phone either. Like, you couldn't just, like, you
no,
had to
you
do...
you sat there. You sat there and watched others play video games, and it sucked.
And so, but now people spend their time watching people play video games. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it.
Jake Cantu and Shane Norling are with us this morning. Guys, can you recall a gift, a wish list gift that you had for Christmas or some other holiday that you look at and you're like, this is the absolute gift I need to have? Maybe it was a birthday, something that you really had to have. For me, it was GoldenEye for Nintendo 64. What do you guys say?
I didn't think about that. I don't know if I really have one. Oh, I got a box set of every Calvin and Hobbes comic. That was one of my favorite gifts I've ever gotten.
You called me a nerd.
Jeez.
It's not nerdy.
Well, a box of comics, it's a little nerdy.
I got a box of books. Yeah, because they weren't like comics. Like, the Calvin and Hobbes books were thick.
It's limited edition, glossy pages.
Dude, stop digging your nerd hole. Just stop. Like, you're making it worse.
Jake, what about you?
I think the first thing that comes into mind is when I was like 10 years old when the Wii came out. That was like my thing. You know, like, you're had young. The sensor and the bar and you play Wii Sports indoors.
It was Wii Tennis. That was all the rage, right?
Yeah, I didn't have to go outside and get all sweaty. I can just like put my strap on with my Wii controller.
Phrasing.
Well, there you go. There's the Captain J Hood cut of the day. Jake and his strap-on. We'll be back.
Cap and Jay Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
See, that's the age gap. That's the age gap. The age gap between me and you and Shay and Jake is that we can't watch other people play video games.
Well, don't be old and crusty.
What do you mean old and crusty?
You know how it is. We dealt with this same thing with Carmen for years. Don't be old and crusty over there.
No.
Be accepting of the young people.
I'm accepting of it. If you want to waste your time, waste it.
Awesome youth points for me.
See,
you're being old right now.
Like, I'm not giving you homework to go watch The Godfather.
I'm not saying that.
Don't be that.
I'd rather watch The Godfather.
Shout out to Carmen.
Than watch someone else play a video game.
Well, yes. Now here's from my vantage point. This is what's happening. It's Blocky and Abdallah. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood today. Day one, Shay was all about it. Day two, there's going to be a fight today. I can just feel it. There's a lot of back and forth in the commercial breaks.
It's,
there's,
you know,
a lot of
is?
You guys just butting heads.
You know
this
what it is?
Is
the chair.
It's the chair.
And he's
it's
turning into Cap before our eyes.
Are you slowly morphing into Cap? Is that sure. what's happening
no,
over
no,
there?
No.
Daddy likey.
No, I just don't. I don't understand. Like, I grew up waiting to play video games. And so I don't understand, if you have video games in front of you, why you would choose to turn on a stream to watch someone else play video games.
This is such an old man doesn't understand take. This really is like something Cap would say. Why would you watch someone play video games? It doesn't make any sense. There's no point. You're not watching them play the game. Like, do you assume that you're tuning into somebody who's just silent and you're just watching, like, the game happen in front of you?
No, I assume that they're cursing the video game like I do when I play video games.
Or they're just talking about nonsense with their friends. Like, you watch because they're being entertained.
Then that's fine. If it's a person who's being entertained, but like, I've seen the clips of like athletes playing video games and people are tuned in and watching athletes play video games. And it's like, I'll just watch you when you play your real sport. I'll just watch you play basketball or football.
We're talking about your wish list. Was there a present that you wanted when you were young that you think back to and you say, man, this was the best? Mine was GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. Abdallah agrees with me. That was the jam in 1997. Tim in Morgan Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Hey, loving your show this morning, man.
Thanks, man. What's up?
First thing I want to say is I love GoldenEye as well. But I was a DJ in the 80s, and they had this turntable called the Technic 1200. It was the top of the line, about $500. Nobody had them. They had the cheaper turntables. And if I told my mother, if you give me these turntables, you don't have to buy me nothing for the rest of the year. And when I got them, all my friends tried to come over my house and play on my turntables, but my house was too small. So that was the best gift in life, man. I almost cried when I saw them when I woke up Christmas morning.
Tim, that's awesome. That's a great gift, and I love that. The house is too small. You can't come over. It's just me.
Just like you got the guys waiting to play a video game.
Yeah.
You had guys waiting to play their record. They bring their records over. Hey, Tim, can I play? Nah, you got to wait until somebody gets through. So it was like five of us in my little small bedroom, man. I couldn't have nobody else come over.
That's awesome, Tim. Good call. Thanks for the phone call.
All right, man. Thank y'all.
That's Tim. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776.
So when I first moved back here, I lived overseas in Saudi Arabia for a little bit. And it's a Muslim country, so I wasn't the odd man out as a Muslim, right? So I get here, and it's sixth grade. We go on winter break for Christmas and New Year's. We come back. And as, a journal entry, our teacher wanted us, for, creative writing, to write about what we got for Christmas. Now, you grew up in Libertyville.
Yeah.
A lot of people celebrated Christmas.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
99.9% of the people in Libertyville.
0.99. That's how it used to be.
99999.
Yeah, you're right.
When we grew up there,
yeah,
celebrated Christmas.
Like, I remember in grade school, every single kid in my grade school class was celebrating Christmas.
Celebrated Christmas.
There was nothing else when I was a kid.
Yeah, there were no Abdallahs.
Yeah.
And so,
you're right. That's how it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
You're right.
So we all had to, write this thing and pass it around, and someone else would read your work. And I was done in 5 seconds because I wrote nothing. I literally wrote the words, "I got nothing for Christmas." But no one knew.
Sad little boy.
No one knew I was Muslim. So there's this poor girl sitting next to me, and she's got to read. First of all, I'm done, but no one else is done. So I'm pretending to write
the
things.
Fake writing.
Yeah, I got this. I'm writing down all this stuff. You guys are doing all this work, and then this girl next to me, she goes, "All right, get up and read Adam's thing." And she gets up and she's like, "Adam Abdallah writes
nothing.
I got nothing for Christmas." And my teacher was so upset. She's like, "What do you mean you got nothing for Christmas?" They thought I was, I just didn't feel like my parents didn't give me anything for Christmas. And I was like, "No, you guys don't understand. I had my holiday 2 weeks ago. I'm Muslim, so I had a day off. You guys all had to come to school. And then when I came back, I got 2 more weeks off, which is cool. But, I don't get anything. I don't get... I like to explain Islam to people in sixth grade because they all felt bad because I didn't get anything for Christmas.
Mark in Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I'm here to talk about the NFL starter jacket.
I got a
San Francisco 49ers in 1994, man.
Oh,
Jerry
that's
Rice,
awesome.
Steve Young. That Super Bowl against the 49ers. Yeah. I'm a huge Bears fan.
Against the Chargers, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a game. And, about GoldenEye, remember Slappers Only? That was the best.
Slappers Only.
Abdallah, explain Slappers Only.
It was when there no guns were allowed, and you had to fight like this. Because, the game wasn't good enough where you could, punch or anything. So it was just arms swinging.
Mark, did you and your friends have a no odd job rule as well?
Oh, absolutely. The low angle, that was, you'd win every time. It was crazy. Nobody could control it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark.
All right, guys, have Merry Christmas.
You too, Merry Christmas. Abdallah, so for those who don't know, the odd job rule in GoldenEye, what was that for today's youth?
I don't remember the odd job rule. You couldn't be odd job, right?
Yeah, so when you're playing multiplayer,
you weren't
allowed to be odd
job. Odd
job is the character from Goldfinger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is small.
Yeah.
And so when you played multiplayer and someone would select odd job, not only was he faster, but he was so small that your target range for the multiplayer shooter,
you couldn't
target him. So if you were a jerk, you would show up to someone's house and you would immediately lock in your character as that, and you would win every single time in multiplayer. Yeah. And so a lot of groups of friends, mine included, would say,
"No,
you can't
job.
Be odd job.
Yeah, I remember.
Can't
that.
Be odd job." Jake in Brownsville, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
So my last name is Wiener, the hot dog, and my mom once for Hanukkah drove out to this place in Highwood called the Mean Wiener and got me a t-shirt. It's got this really like PO'd looking wiener on the back, and it's like standing in front of a burning building. And to this day, I still have that t-shirt. I still wear it. She got it for me when I was like 21. I'm 32 now. And I've still never been to the Mean Wiener, but I love that t-shirt, and it's easily my most treasured gift.
That's awesome.
Good call, Jake. Appreciate you. Black Amdala in for Cap and Jay Hood. Jim in Chicago Heights, you're on ESPN 1000.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm kind of old. I'm 73 years old. Back in the early 50s, my dad bought us a Lionel train, but had to wait till we went to bed that Christmas Eve. He set it up, and he played with it for about 4 or 5 hours himself.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at these now.
These are intricate.
He gave it to me and ended up, because I had kids, I set it up every year around a tree. The kids go crazy with it.
That's awesome. That's a great gift.
It's a nice train.
Oh, yeah. And it was cheap back then. I think it was probably $75. The engine alone right now is worth $250.
Yeah. It's crazy expensive now.
Jim, is that the best part when you get older, is that you can give gifts to your kids that then you actually can spend time playing with?
Not really. I don't get into video games or anything like that, so if I buy them a video game, it's all theirs.
Why didn't you ever get into it?
Well, I'm old.
Yeah, I know, but at one point you weren't. Video games are around.
Yeah, I know. I just never got into it. That's pinball machines.
That's pretty good. All right, Jim. Thanks for the phone call.
Take it easy.
I mean, Abdallah, you are about to have a child with your wife.
I am.
You are not the one giving birth, but your wife will be in short order here. Within the next month or so.
A month from today.
I would imagine that's the best part of this situation. Obviously, raising a child will be great for you, but I think you looking forward to the toys that you can then gift and then play with yourself, I'm imagining there's a piece of you that's really excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to like having a child that wants to play and do, like, you know, it depends on what she wants to do, though. You know, like, I'm not going to force feed her toys that I want to play with just because I want to play with them.
What else is the point of being a parent?
Like, this isn't Homer buying Marge a bowling ball. You know? This isn't that. Like, if she wants to play video games, she can play video games. If she wants to, you know, play with Bart, like, there will be, trust me, Abdallah will be involved in many a tea party. Like, if that's what she wants to do, I will be right there playing tea party or princesses or whatever she wants to play with, because I'll be a pushover for sure.
Or FIFA soccer.
Yeah, if she wants to, listen, she can't have the edibles, but she can play all the FIFA she wants to.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
In 10 minutes, we will play Shot or No Shot here on Cap and Jay Hood. Black and Abdallah filling in for the guys today. Talking with you at 312-332-3776. We're talking about gifts back in the day when you were a kid, things that you looked forward to. Mine was GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. Abdallah agrees, we're the same age. The winter of 1997, heading into the holidays that year, that was the hot gift. Everyone wanted it.
Because I feel like we were what? 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the first time, like, a new system came out and you were, like, cognizant of being like, I want this. Like, I remember playing my Genesis, but I don't remember when I asked for a Genesis system, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember being like, I want this Genesis system. I remember, I'm sure I got it for a birthday or holiday or something like that. But I don't remember being like, I really, really want this. This is the only thing I want. There's only one thing on my list. Like, this is what I want.
Trevor in Lockport, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, yeah. I wanted to call in. When I was 8 years old, my dad got me a 2005 baseball encyclopedia. And for years, we would just sit down, and he'd ask me to look up a player, and we'd just go over stats all the time.
Trevor, isn't there a piece of you that misses those days where now the internet just gives you all the answers at all times? But back in the day, you would just look at information?
Oh, 100%. The baseball encyclopedia where you, like, I don't know, it wasn't as in-depth as and easy as baseball reference pages are now, but
sure,
there's still something about picking up a book that weighs like 10 pounds and trying to find your player.
Good call, Trevor. Appreciate you. We go to Brad in Libertyville. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. Adela, Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Wow.
And GoldenEye in college was fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Because drunk GoldenEye, fantastic. I didn't really want this. I didn't think I wanted this gift, but I was 12 and 90, and Christmas of 90, I got a present a couple days before from my sister, and I'm like, it's not Christmas yet, and she got tickets through her work for first row of third deck of the Chicago Stadium, Bulls Pistons. So that was the 90-91 first championship season, and Jordan hit a three at halftime, and it was one of his jump up, fist pumps. Chicago Stadium went nuts, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I ever got in my life.
Brad, that's awesome, because I think outside of like video games, the best gifts for kids that grew up in the 90s were Bulls related gear, tickets, anything Bulls related. The Jordan era, that was the highlight. Anything Bulls related.
Yep. It was fantastic. Close second was the following or the year before, maybe. One of the year before or after, she got Blackhawks tickets with the old pullover Blackhawks starter quarter zip hoodie.
Sure.
So that was pretty cool. But the Bulls experience and it being that first championship year, you couldn't top it.
Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate you.
I remember the year I got my Bulls starter jacket, and that was another like birthday present in December.
Oh, the starter jackets were the best. Like, and now Jake Cantu producing for us today. Jake, like, that's the style now.
Yeah,
starter jackets are back, and that's the style. It's all come around.
I just found a Chiefs one for like $10 at a thrift store.
Really?
And it resells for $100. It's like just everybody wants a starter jacket again.
And they're making them again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're making like
not like
newer version ones. Like the you don't have like my. I had the pullover one.
Yeah.
And so like that to me with a big starter
with
zipper
the big pouch
on it,
in the front.
The pouch in the front. Sure. Now they're making more like bomber style jackets.
No. They're making the pullover ones. Yes, they're making them.
Should we get them?
No.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Jake can get it.
Why?
Because he's young and cool.
So we're what? We're olds now?
Yeah, you're old and washed.
No, I'm going to get a starter jacket.
You're in the cap chair.
Don't tell me
you
what
can try mine on, but
you're sitting in the cap chair.
You
Gorman
are
and Mount Greenwood. You're on ESPN 1000.
Roxbury Twins. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Gorman.
Hey, when I was I'm like 60 right now. So back in the early 70s, my parents both worked, so they had a little bit of money, more so than your average household, and I got this Schwinn apple crate, which was like looked kind of like a chopper with a banana seat and a small front wheel with a drum brake and a disc brake in the back, and it had a 5-speed gear shifter in front of you on the frame. And if you had one of these bikes, the red one was the apple crate, the green one was the pea picker, and there was a yellow one. I think it was called a lemon peel. And you were the cat's ass in the neighborhood if you had one of these bikes.
That's amazing. I remember seeing these. I didn't know that was cool, having that type of bike.
They're expensive now. If you have one that's in good shape, they're over $1,000 right now.
I see this one on Amazon for $700.
Yeah.
That's
so
wild.
You were the envy of the neighborhood if you had one of those bikes.
That's awesome. Good call, Gorman. Appreciate you.
Take care.
Abdallah, do you remember having pegs?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Do you have both front, back?
No, just the back pegs. You don't need front pegs.
Metal,
front pegs.
Hard plastic. What'd you have?
No, metal. Come on, dude. I'm messing up some rails.
On your dyno?
I had a Haro. Thank you very much. I had a Haro. It was Dave Mira's brand of bikes, and I definitely, yeah, I did not, I don't like, dynos to me were, I got very into biking. Dynos to me were like, you were paying for the name and not for the quality. Whereas like Haro, you were playing for the quality and less of the name of the bike. And like I did extensive research into, like, I had the magazines and everything. Like, I was very into BMX biking. I loved it. I would go to those dirt jumps and everything.
What was it? The GT Dyno. That's what I had.
With the did you have the plastic rims or the metal rims?
I had metal rims.
Some of them had like the three plastic. It looked like a peace sign almost.
Oh no. Mine were metal, okay. And then I had the black matte pegs on the back.
Okay.
So I didn't have metal pegs, okay. But I had the black pegs on the back.
Okay. I had the, like, they were like almost perforated. Like they had, like, they were like,
oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know
so
what you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm really messing up some, some rails with that.
It looks like you have a cheese grater.
Yeah. But I did more, what do you call it? Dirt jumping. Then, like, we had, there was a dirt jumping place in Libertyville.
This is the one that I had with the flames, the yellow and black flames.
Oh, yeah.
That's one I had.
There was a green one that I thought was super cool. Like, I loved it. There was one green dyno, but it was like $600. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna get a $600 dyno. That's insane.
They were expensive. It's Black and Abdallah. We're filling in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.